Blog Talk Radio.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook at www.audiblepodcast.com/MRmedia, that's Mr. Media. Over 60,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. And, of course, Mr. Media is recorded live from the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. Valentine Roncalli is 35 and feeling every bit of those years. While her friends and siblings all have families of their own, she lives in her 80-year-old grandmother's home amongst all of her grandmother's trinkets and memories, running her grandmother's shoe company. Valentine needs a man. Gianluca is that man. The suave, sophisticated Italian lights her up like a Roman candle when they're close, which isn't often as she's in Manhattan and he's in Italy. What's a woman to do? That's the issue novelist Adriana Trigiani confronts in her second Valentine story, Brava Valentine, on sale today, February 9th, in bookstores everywhere and online. The previous novel, That Very Valentine, was a New York Times bestseller, and this new one is probably headed for the same territory. Adriana, welcome to Mr. Media.
Well, hello, Mr. Media, Bob. You just gave that a gorgeous review and set me up beautifully for the reader to have a ball with this one. I'm thrilled.
My pleasure.
Thank you for having
me. My pleasure.
Glad
to have you here. I got to ask you, though, now you put poor Valentine through so much angst in between boyfriends and family and business. Do you ever feel guilty?
Welcome to life, Bob. Where have you been? Life is hard. Life is very, very hard, and I think it's getting harder, and I think things are going by more quickly, and we have so many ways of communicating with each other, and yet we're lonelier than we've ever been. So my characters hang on to what they know, which is the craft that is handed down from generation to generation. Valentine is a shoemaker. She lives with her grandmother, but she also works in the shop, and they make shoes together. And then you also have those layers of love, which we all want that, and I think it's very organic in a woman's life to look for that and to hope for it and then pray when you get it that it lasts and that it's the right person. But I would say thematically that the two things that my books are always about is who do you love, who do you choose to love, and then what do you do with the labor of your own hands? What do you do? Kind of work and love and love and work. And they're really two themes that keep on giving.
Well, speaking of work, one of the things I thought was interesting and I wanted to ask you about is in the period of time that takes place in the book, it is very close to where we are now. There's a lot of conversation about it, how hard it is to get loans and the banks are a mess. People are out of work. When did you finish this book? I mean, actually, when did you work on this from when to when, and how recently did you finish?
Well, I write a book a year. I completely brought the current economic crisis and condition into it, as well as the whole notion of aging parents and all of the stuff that I talk about every day with my friends or I read about play into this. But I will say this, Bob, I grew up in a family, we always worked for ourselves, and it's always a conundrum how to make a living. You always need some money. There's always a bill to be paid. I'm from working people. I am a working person, even though I'm an artist. I consider myself a working person, like my grandfather was a shoemaker, and then my grandmother was a seamstress. I just happened to write books. But I look at it all like the same. You need discipline, you have to get up early, you've got to meet your deadlines, then you have to sell what you make, and then it's a circle. I'm thrilled that you noticed that it's very timely, but I think that we lose sight sometimes, you know, when we're looking for a job or when we're down, we forget it's going to change again, and it will change for the better. And if my book can you can share it with somebody and it can elevate you and kind of give you a new take on it, that's what art is supposed to do. So, and I'm happy to do it, and that's my job.
I wanted to ask you, you mentioned family, your own family. How is your own family like and unlike Valentine's?
Well, I come from a big Italian family, and obviously I write about a big Italian family in this, but what I love about this is I'm able to combine people and take people maybe that I'm not related to and pull them through. I mean, I have a really, really good time with it. I really play with it and invent them anew. I don't really write anybody specifically, but I invent them, and then they're part of the scene.
There's quite a bit of sibling rivalry and revelry here between Valentine and her brother, Alfred, and, of course, and her sisters. It's a very different relationship.
Right. Well, I know a little something about that, you know. I'm in the middle of seven children, and I certainly had cousins that were from large families, so I really understand it, and I really see the differentiation of the characters, you know. When my family used to go out, this is what people would say, which one are you? You know, which one are you? And you'd want to say, I'm me, but it didn't really matter, you know. So I love to write it, and I have fun with it now.
Now, help me on a purely technical question that confused me early in the book, if you don't mind.
Sure.
How old are Valentine's parents?
Her father is 68. He turned 69 in this book. And her mother's 63, but she can't say her age because her throat closes. She has a little issue with aging.
Okay, that's where I got.
Okay, why were you confused?
I got confused because the father's age is set at 69.
Right.
The grandmother, and I understand it's Valentine's maternal.
That's right.
Grandmother.
Her mother had her very young. Her mother was 20 when she had her.
Okay.
She had one kid.
There was a point at which I thought that her father said, I was 22 and she, meaning his wife, was 21. And maybe I misunderstood that, but I was very confused after that about how old people were.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So.
Oh, well, that's interesting. I didn't know that. All right, I'll look at that.
Okay, I was curious.
I'm not good at math, Bob. Let me be honest with you. I'm not good at math. So he was a little older than she.
Right.
You know, he's like 7 years older, but no, I remember that now, or 6 years older, yeah. But the mother had her very young, yeah.
Did mom have Valentine at 12? What am I missing here?
No.
Good.
The mom,
you straighten that out.
Yeah, we got it straightened out. The mother's 20 when she had her, so you can do that, yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. Today, and it's probably why I stumbled on it in the introduction, but today is the first day that the Mr. Media Radio Show is sponsored by Audible.com. So I was curious to ask you about your own experience with audiobook editions of your stories. I noticed that everyone from you to Mario Cantone has read your books.
That's right. And Mira Sorvino read Lucia Lucia. And then we have the wonderful Cassandra Campbell reads the Valentine series. I got to tell you, my audiobooks are really an important part of my readership. People take them on car trips and really enjoy them. And now the fashion is to do them unabridged. And when I recorded them, and I've recorded about six of them, they were abridged. But we have an actress, a professional actress, who comes in, and I love Audible.com. I know all the folks at Audible.com. They've been very, very good to me. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to listen to a book. It's really a smart thing to do because you can be hands-free. And if you like and you treasure someone having read to you when you were a kid, it's like having that treat all over again.
As someone who's written these romance books, do you feel like, you mentioned people can be hand-free, do you feel like they should be, you know, making out or, you know, cuddled up with someone close while they listen?
Well, Bob, when they listen to an audio book?
Yeah.
All right, well, sure. Whatever you like. Why not? Why not? For the romantic sections of the book, and I guess then when you talk about the bank, you should do that at work. I don't know.
There you go. So you are known for being very close to your fans, being very much in contact with them.
Right.
And you've got a tour coming up. Tell us something about the people who read your books.
Oh, Bob, they're it's every kind of. I look at them like individual. It's very hard to. There's a lot of intergenerational sharing. A lot of women. Now we see that the men are growing in numbers. It's mostly people who love to go to see happy ending movies. An audience that loves to read, that loves images, and hopefully good writing. That is literary. Romance is an element, but it is not the whole ball of wax with my books by any stretch, but it is a good part of it. I wouldn't describe them as romance books. I would call them fiction, you know, novels, literary fiction. They call them women's fiction sometimes, which is an honor to me because I'm a woman. So I would say that they're just well-told, lush stories, and in the case of Valentine, it's a contemporary family saga. Somebody said to me the other day, it's The Godfather without guns, and that made me laugh. So I'm sharing that with you at Audible and Blog Talk.
What's next? Will there be another Valentine book?
There will be another Valentine book, and there will be a couple of movies, the Big Stone Gap movie and Very Valentine the movie. And I have ideas about the next direction I want to take the stories, and I've got a couple of good ones, and I think one of them will make itself known to me through my subconscious, and then we'll be off to the races and be back talking to you.
Great, great. Well, folks, listen, you can find Adriana Trigiani's new book, Brava Valentine, the second story in the life of Valentine Rancala, in great bookstores everywhere, or, hey, you can order the audiobook for free today. Go to audiblepodcast.com/MRmedia, Mr. Media, to get a free audiobook download of your choice when you sign up today. Again, that's audiblepodcast.com/MRmedia for your free, for your free audiobook. See, it chokes me up just to say that.
Oh,
and
my gosh, something free. I'm on the phone. I got to
sign up now.
Interview to go order. Yeah.
There you go. And you can also meet Adriana in person on tour in February, starting tonight,
okay.
February 9th, at the Barnes & Noble store at 150 East 86th Street in Manhattan. Check her personal website, adrianatrigiani.com, for more details. And, Adriana, thank you so much for joining us on Mr. Media today.
Bob, you're fantastic, and it's been my pleasure.
Thank you very much. Take care and good luck.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And, folks, for more interviews with your favorite novelists, surf over to our main website, www.mrmedia.com. That's where you can listen to my earlier conversations with Lisa McMahon, Sarah Czar, James Dashner, Richard Deutsch, Monty Schultz, Peter Gallenbach, John Darton, Sue Ann Jafarian, James Sheehan, and many more. Subscribe to Mr. Media on iTunes, and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews from within iTunes and subscribe for free. You can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many locations. If you've got an idea for a guest, email me directly at bob@andelman.com. You can also follow me on Facebook or on Twitter, www.twitter.com/andelman. Thanks so much for joining us today. Always appreciate when you give up a piece of your day and come spend it with Mr. Media. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thank you.